This whole month has been about making space for Jesus. Making space for Jesus. And I think the fastest way to do that is just to start adoring Him. Start thinking about all those things that Jesus is. This morning I want to read the Christmas story out of the Passion Translation. And there's some reasons for that. The main reason is the Holy Spirit said, I want you to read the Passion Translation. And I was like, okay, I'll read the Passion Translation. And I'm not a big person for change. Cindy's kind of been saying, oh, she's always reading the Passion Translation to me. And I love it, I really do. But I like my good old NIV. And before that, I liked my good old King James. And before that, I liked my good old Hebrew. No, I don't know Hebrew that well. Anyway, I do like it. But anyway, so this morning, I want to read this. And we're going to point some things out that show us how to make space for Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, during those days, the Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, ordered that the first census be taken throughout his empire. Quirinius was the governor of Syria at that time, and everyone had to travel to his or her hometown to complete the mandatory census. So Joseph and his fiancée Mary left Nazareth, a village in Galilee, and journeyed to their hometown in Judea, to the village of Bethlehem, King David's ancient home. They were required to register there since they were both direct descendants of David, and Mary was pregnant and nearly ready to give birth. When they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary went into labor, and there she gave birth to her firstborn son. And after wrapping the newborn baby in strips of cloth, they laid him in a feeding trough, since there was no available space in any upper room in the village. That night, in a field near Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching over their flocks. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God, and the shepherds were terrified. But the angel reassured them, saying, "Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. And it is for everyone, everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born to you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. And you will recognize him by this miracle sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Then all at once, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven, and they all praised God, singing, "Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven. For there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men." And when the choir of angels disappeared back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go. Let's hurry and find this word that is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us." So they ran into the village and they found their way to Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a feeding trough. Upon seeing this miraculous sign, the shepherds recounted what had just happened, and everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told. But Mary treasured all of these things in her heart and often pondered what they meant. The shepherds returned to their flock, ecstatic over what had happened, and they praised God and glorified Him for all they had heard and seen for themselves, just like the angel had said. So here we have the story of Christmas in 20 short verses. Of course, it took a little bit longer than that. And it was a little bit more amazing than that. We run through this and we see it play out in our mind. And I don't know about you, but I've spent some time at night with sheep. I can't imagine being out there in the middle of nowhere, up north of Belfouche, south of Faith someplace, okay? And hanging out with your sheep, and all of a sudden, a warrior angel shows up and he says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, great tidings of great joy." I'd probably be changing my tunic right about then, right? And my underpants and everything else. But when we look at this story shows us and tells us how to make space for Jesus. Jesus is the most amazing person that was ever born. And when I say that, sometimes people get a little uncomfortable. Well, he was God. Well, the scripture says he was fully man and fully God. He's the only being that was ever that. Not even Father God was fully man and fully God. Jesus bridged that gap between humanity and the Father. He's the most amazing thing that has ever happened in creation. And it's kind of amazing that it was almost missed, almost lost in history, except the fact that God did it just the way he wanted. I think it's really, really very interesting. There was no space in this story. It says in this translation, there's no space in the upper rooms. And in that time, the upper rooms were reserved for guests. They were reserved because down below that, okay, you had the stalls. You had the feeding troughs. And you'd go upstairs and you'd stay in the upper rooms. And there was no room for that. You know, when I read this story, I think about what if somebody would have said, oh, wait a minute, this lady is pregnant, for crying out loud. She can have our room. We'll sleep down in the hay. That person's name would be in the Bible, but no. Because that night everybody was selfish. And everybody wasn't thinking about a Jesus, a Savior. They were thinking about themselves. And God says, I'm going to show you how common, how wonderful I'm going to be. I'm going to be the lowest of the lowest. In fact, in society at that time, shepherds weren't considered, you know, upper crust. And so an angel comes to the shepherds and lets them know, and all of history knows what happened. All of creation, all of mankind knows what happened. In a lowly little feeding trough in the middle of Bethlehem, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere, God did something very, very, very amazing. God thought of the best way he could to connect us and have relationship with us. You see, kings usually aren't found in the common. And kings, you know, usually don't walk among men as commoners. And you know, gods usually don't walk among men. I mean, all of the tales of the false gods of the Greek, you know, and all of that, those guys didn't walk with us. They tormented us. But God says, I want to walk with you. All those stories, all those false gods, they're stories of torment, of tormenting. But our God says, I want to walk with you. The Christmas story shows us how to make room for Jesus. In Galatians 4, it talks about the Christmas story and something amazing about it. I love the first part of Galatians 4, verse 4. It says, but when the time had fully come, God said, this is the time, right now, in Bethlehem, the time has fully come right now. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of son, because you are sons. God sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. We are here today because God reached down and touched the common. I don't see any senators or Supreme Court judges. You know, and if they showed up, I mean, even if our president showed up, we'd say, hey, how's it going? We'd probably shake his hand, wouldn't make a big deal about it, would we? Well, maybe we would. But God reached down and touched the common with Jesus Christ, and now he is our Father. We can call him Abba, Father, Daddy. I mean, that is amazing. That is a miracle. You know, you just said, you look at that and you say, what kind of a miracle is this? What kind of a God does this? Well, our God does it. He made us his child in an amazing way by sending a baby so that we would understand this whole kinship to God. I mean, let's face it. All of the people in the world, okay, all of the people in the world, whether they're common, whether they're of low estate, whether they're of wealthy estate, when they're a baby, there's nothing intimidating about them. Think about that. God said, I don't want to intimidate mankind. I mean, the Son of God, Jesus, could have shown up fully grown with legions of angels, stepped foot on the earth and said, okay, this is the way it's going to be. But he didn't. He came in grace and love and peace and joy. And he came to invade our hearts and to saturate our lives with the presence of God. He made you and me his children through a baby. Isn't that amazing? Only God would think of something like that. So I encourage you every day, make space to rejoice that you are a child of God. Every day, make space to rejoice that you are a child of the King. Every day. Think about that. Just stop and think about it. I don't care what kind of day you're having. You can stop and say, wow, I am a child of God. I'm a child of the King. That baby Jesus, he came for me so that God could adopt me. I think it's interesting that angels declared what had happened to shepherds. Like I said, everyday common folk, you know. I mean, not many people, you know, ascribe to become a shepherd. I have not met a single kid at Black Hill State College that's come up to the mail window and says, I say, hey, what are you going to do in your growth? Well, I'm going to do this and this and this. I have yet to have somebody come up to the window and say, I'm going to grow up and be a shepherd. And God chose the most common of common to speak the truth of the Messiah to the world. It's kind of interesting, really. And we see their response, you know. Evidently, the rest of the world was a little busy with the census and stuff. They didn't even give a pregnant lady a room. Nobody budged. But God goes out to the shepherds and he says, hey, guys, guess what? Something incredible is going to happen, and you're going to know because this is the miracle sign. You know, so many times we think miracle signs. Ooh, this and this and this. This is the miracle sign. You're going to see a baby in a feeding trough. Cool. You know, most of the world will go, that's a miracle? There's a baby in a feeding trough. But the shepherds, their response was, hey, let's hurry and find this word. That's what they said in the Greek. That's really what they said. Let's hurry. Let's make this. Let's just book it into town as fast as we could. And let's find out about this word. Because the angel had brought the word of God to mankind. A prophetic fulfillment that was made thousands of years earlier. And there it was. And the shepherds went, whoa, we're going to go see this. And when they got there, it wasn't like, whoa, there's a baby in a feeding trough. It was like, look, the baby's in the feeding trough. Just like the angel said. That was an amazing prophetic exclamation for them. You know, it's like the rest of the world's like, well, maybe, you know, you could walk on water. Or maybe you could turn the, you know, bread into, you know, the water into wine or whatever. They're like, look, there's a baby in a feeding trough. And I find it's kind of interesting that Jesus said, I am the bread and the life of the world. I am the manna that comes down from heaven. And God put him in a feeding trough. Everything relates to God's purpose, even where the baby was placed. You know, in us, you know, when we find the Word of God, when we hear how much God loves us, when we hear that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, and that when we believe in him, we can have that life in him. We can have our sins forgiven. That's the word that God is speaking this Christmas season. Is this baby was born. This baby was born so that we could hear the word of God. And the shepherd said, let's go see this word. Let's go see it. So it's interesting that God spoke through someone along the line of history so that you are here today. Think about this. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this world. He picked out 12 disciples. And from those 12 men, from Jesus Christ, that word, the same word that was proclaimed by the angels to the shepherds, that word has been proclaimed for 2,000 years from person to person to person to person to person until you're sitting here today. That's a miracle. The miracle is now you're in the feeding trough. You're there looking at this baby Jesus. You're there because you know that when you go to the Savior, your heart, your soul, your mind will be fed from the life of Jesus Christ. So every day, be like a shepherd. Make space to hurry and find Jesus, the living Word. Isn't it interesting? The Christmas story is about making space, isn't it? Every one of these. The shepherds returned to their flock, ecstatic over what had happened. But it says in verse 19, but Mary treasured all these things and she pondered them in her heart. She pondered what they meant. Here's the mother of God. Wow. You know, it's not like she was a seasoned mom of many children. She was probably a teenager. Early 20s. First baby. And not only her first baby, but the first God that was ever born in the world. I mean, think about it. Hi, this is my son. He's God. Well, I know you think a lot about your son. That's really cool. No, I'm not kidding. He's God. He's really God. The Holy Spirit impregnated me. Does that sound a little crazy? But it's not. Because we have prophecy that proclaims it. We have angels that proclaim it. We have the righteousness of certain people who God chose. We have John the Baptist, his cousin that comes before him. We have prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. And if Jesus' birth wasn't enough, how about his resurrection from the dead? You don't do that unless you're God. You see, Mary took time right there looking at that baby. I don't know how many of you, you know, you've been right there. Maybe it's your baby. Maybe it's somebody else's baby. I don't know about you, but anymore, I can remember. Gonna get teary here. Looking at each one of our babies and feeling like my whole life has changed. My whole life is better. And also thinking, how in the world am I going to do this? Pondering it in my heart. I wonder if Mary pondered in her heart, how am I going to be the mother of the Messiah? But she was. She did a great job. He turned out just fine, didn't he? I mean, you know, one time he kind of hid from them and stayed back at the temple. But maybe it was because Mary and Joseph just weren't paying attention. Ever lose one of your kids and it wasn't their fault? I used to think, you know, before we had kids, what is wrong with people that lose their kids? And then we had Melita. Oh, hi, Melita. She was the busy one. And one time, man, I turned around in the Rushmore Mall. You weren't there. Scared me to death. And she was under one of those coat things. She was playing, you know, like, I'm going to hide from Dad. Oh, my gosh, I had a heart attack. It was, yeah, yeah. But our children were precious. That baby was precious. And Mary was there. She was treasuring those things in her heart. She was pondering what it was going to look like. And I encourage you every day, make space for Jesus to be a treasure in your heart. Every day, ponder about what Christ is doing in your life. You know, especially when things are rough, just say, Jesus, what are you doing? Think, what do you want me to learn? What are you growing me in? Where are you taking me? And you know something? When things are really, really good, say, Jesus, protect me because I'm fickled. We're all fickled. Man, when things start going good, we get a little careless. So every day we need to make treasure, the treasure of Christ. We need to make space for that treasure in our heart and think about Him. In verse 20, it says, the shepherds returned to their flock and they were ecstatic over what happened. Have you ever been ecstatic? Come on, we've all been ecstatic. They were ecstatic. I was like, man, can you imagine these guys walking back? Can you believe this? Man, who would have ever thought? We're out in the middle of nowhere doing nothing for the 10 millionth day. I mean, the life of a shepherd wasn't very exciting unless something came in and tried to eat the sheep. I mean, every night they're out there watching the sheep, taking turns, not getting a lot of sleep, kind of boring most of the time. But they had to be there because sheep are like people. Do you know that sheep are really, really like people. Do you know that sheep have no sense of direction? They have no sense of direction. They have been created by God with no sense of direction. I saw this many, many times when we raised sheep. You know? I mean, if they weren't paying attention and if you walked away, and I used to do this to Snowball just for the fun of it. Cindy had a 200-pound registered bum named Snowball. He got really, really big. And he was like a pet. A 200-pound registered Colombian sheep pet. What kind of a person has a pet like that? I don't know. Anyway. And he was so gentle and he loved us, but I'll tell you what, if anybody would have tried to harm Cindy in any way, he'd have taken him out. But I used to mess with him because he was fun to mess with because he had no sense of direction. He would follow you until the world came to an end. But every once in a while, like I'd, you know, be feeding him and I'd pet him and, you know, kind of bump on his head. He kind of liked that, you know, kind of like the bump heads, you know. Didn't want to get too much going on. He'd jam you right through the fence. But anyway, you know, he'd talk to you, you know. And I'd kind of feed him and then I'd kind of sneak around and I'd hide behind something. And he'd kind of look around and he'd, you know, and I mean, he'd like, and he wouldn't know what to do. If he didn't see you leave the pen, it would totally freak him out. And yeah, I'm a little evil. I kind of enjoy doing that, okay? But he would, and then he'd start running around. You know, they have no sense of direction. They have no sense of what to do next. They're followers. And you want to know something? When God said that all men are like sheep and they've gone astray, you know what God's saying? We're pretty much like sheep. In fact, I think he was insulting sheep in some way. But without Jesus, we don't have any direction. And here's these shepherds out there realizing that they are responsible for these sheep. They give the sheep direction. And isn't it interesting that our Savior Jesus is the shepherd of the world? Isn't it interesting that King David, before he was king, he was a shepherd. Isn't it interesting that everything about the Bible story and about Jesus all fits together into this, is without Jesus, we're like Snowball. Where'd you go? Where'd you go? So every day we need to realize this, that God is moving in our life and we need to follow Him. We need to follow Him. So make space at the end of every day to praise Him, to thank Him, and to glorify Him, because when you wake up in the morning, you'll know who to follow. That is our Merry Christmas. You'll know who to follow. In Psalm 86, David wrote this psalm, Psalm 86, 11 through 13. He said to God, and this could be a morning, an afternoon, an evening prayer. He said, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. David is saying here, I will follow you. I will glorify you. Because as the shepherds went back, it said that they glorified God because they were ecstatic about what he was doing and what he did. And I encourage you, this Christmas, go to God and say, Lord, teach me your way. I want to follow you. I want to follow you. Give me an undivided heart. You know, our heart, whoo, boy, it's a fickle thing. But Lord, I want to have an undivided heart. I want to fear your name. I want to see the awesomeness of you moving. And Lord, that word fear, it means to have an awesome, reverent, he's so amazing. You're like, It's not like being scared of God. The only people that need to be scared of God are people that don't know Jesus. But to have this awesome, reverent understanding of Him, it says, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me, because you have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The story of Christmas is about birth and rebirth. There's no grave in this story. It's only about a brand new baby, a brand new beginning, and a bunch of people who in that 20 verses made space for Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that we do know Jesus. We thank you for that opportunity, Lord, to have him in our lives. And Father, I pray that this Christmas we will make space for Jesus in every way that we can. Lord, as we interact with people for the rest of this week, I pray that we will just speak blessing into the lives of the people around us. I pray, Lord, that we will understand that this is life. This is the focal point of all of the life on earth. The focal point of our life is the birth of Jesus Christ. So, Father, let us have that truth. Let us have that joy. Let us glorify you, and let us make space for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.